This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Liverpool.com podcast on the Blood Red channel. I'm your host, James Martin, and I'm joined today by Matt Addison, Liverpool.com editor. Matt, how are you doing?
Yeah, all good. Just about recovered from the disappointment, I think, of the weekend. I'm sure that will linger a little bit longer with it being the international break, but hopefully
today's conversation can sort of move that a little bit further forward and we can have a chat about the future, because there's still a lot for Liverpool to play for this season. Still two trophies up for grabs and still plenty of exciting things for us to get into. So I think immediately after the game on Sunday, I thought it was more of a bad thing than a good thing. It felt like one of those where you just wanted to play another game as soon as possible. If Liverpool could have got a Wednesday game after that Sunday to just get it out of the system. As we've seen, a few times this season, they've had, quick turnarounds. There's not been too many disappointments. But when that has been the case, for that to sort of quickly be got out of your system, I think is pretty, pretty important, really, for Liverpool. But equally, the more you look at it, the sort of injury list that has been there for, as long as this season has been, really, it's been sort of 8 to 10 or sometimes even more players over the last few weeks that Liverpool have had out. So it's not been particularly easy for them to be able to deal with that. There should, as we're going to be a couple of players who could come back immediately or certainly soon after the international break. I think Curtis Jones will be the first one who's back. He looks like he's further along that line than the others potentially. But I think possibly there might be one or two more a short time after that. And I think that would be a big thing for Liverpool. Obviously, no games now and the disappointment will linger. But at the same time, if you can get one or two of those players back, I think certainly by the time Liverpool go to Old Trafford again in, less than 3 weeks in the Premier League, I think you'd probably think that it would be a different result, I think, in a completely different performance from Liverpool when they go there next time.
Yeah, it's a tricky one to think about, because you don't really want to be stewing on the performance at Old Trafford, which is kind of the position we've been left in. But at the same time, there are a lot of injuries that are sort of going to be in a better position once we come back. They're not necessarily going to be sorted, but Klopp had a relatively positive update, didn't he, before the Manchester United game. He said Curtis Jones, we're hoping, should be back once we're back from the international break. And then there's Jota and Alexander Arnold, who he said, at the moment, maybe a week away from coming back. So the international break, it's always an awkward time of the season. We're 10 games away from the end of the Premier League. This is the time when you really don't want momentum to be stopping. But at the same time, that's a lot of important players who are now going to be missing one or two fewer games than they might have done.
Yeah, exactly that. And Liverpool do need that momentum and they need to start to build that up again. But it's not really the international break that has stopped that momentum. It's more the result and the way that happened. It felt like a lot of those players needed a break. I know there's been a lot of conversations about how much space there was to run into it. It just didn't feel like a Liverpool-Manchester United game on Sunday. It felt very, very strange. It was almost like a classic FA Cup tie, but I don't think that was by design, certainly on Liverpool's part. I think it was more a case of the fatigue, whether that's physical or mental. Hopefully, this couple of weeks just gives them a little bit of time to reset. I think Manchester United have been like that for a good number of weeks now. We've seen plenty of teams have huge amounts of shots against them and sometimes have made the most of them and sometimes haven't. It's a bit of potluck. And I think luck did play a little bit of a part for them, because there were so many chances where Liverpool could have made it 3-1. And I think if they'd have made it 3-1, it was more likely to be a 4 or a 5. And in the end, obviously, it's gone the other way. So I think that's definitely an important factor for me during this international break. I know Jurgen Klopp said as well that it's out of his control how many minutes each of these players play. We're going to go through sort of where each of them is going to be heading and who they're going to be playing and, you know, how far they're going to have to travel and all that sort of thing. But I think across the whole of it, when you think that Mohamed Salah hasn't even gone with Egypt, there's a couple of other players who've got little knocks. Darwin Nunez has pulled out of international duty. I don't think that that's necessarily, you know, a bad thing for Liverpool to just keep him back and have it as a bit more of a precaution. So I suspect that the other side of the international break, Liverpool will click back into gear, that the Manchester United game will have been forgotten. And as I said before, the next time they play United in a couple of weeks' time, I think it will be a very, very different game.
Yeah, much as it hurts to lose, it always hurts to lose, but especially to Manchester United. If you were trying to pick one of those two games to win, it would be the league. As we said at the start, if you're getting the treble with the Premier League as one of them, that's always going to be the preferred outcome. So, yeah, as long as Liverpool puts it right after the break, then momentum firmly back. And like you say, a couple of boosts in terms of players not going away on internationals. Salah, we know, is more or less back fit, having played, you know, the full 90 in the Europa and then a big chunk against United. But it's we'd have been sweating on his fitness if it had been left in the hands of Egypt over the breaks. And then, as you say, Nunez is withdrawn. That's helpful to two key attackers who should come back ready, rested, prepared to go out all guns blazing for that 10-game run-in that we mentioned. But let's talk about the players who are going away on international duty, and let's start with England, where just the one Liverpool representative, but a significant one in Joe Gomez, first time in about 4 years he's been called up. I mean, how deserved is that?
Yeah, it should be no surprise. I think it's probably more of a worry for Liverpool that Joe Gomez is with England rather than just staying at home and being wrapped up, because he has played a lot of football. And I think Liverpool have been hurt before by Joe Gomez going there, coming back with an injury and finding it a little bit more difficult. So fingers crossed he can come through that. But I mean, he should be absolutely nailed on for being in that squad. Curtis Jones, I think, probably would have been as well had he not been injured. Obviously, Trent, which I think we might touch upon, I think he would have been, you know, a certainty, not just to be in the squad, obviously, but to probably play a part in these matches as well. But yeah, for Joe Gomez, he's been exceptional, really. He's been so, so good over the last few weeks. He's almost, I think, now viewed more of as a fullback than a centre-back. He's been that good in those two positions. The fact that he can play on both sides and obviously in the middle. And if England play a back three, I think it makes perfect sense to have him, really. He can fit into all of those positions. And I think there's a couple of decent defenders in the England team. I'm a big fan of John Stones, for example, but I think Joe Gomez over the last couple of months has been as good as anybody in the country in terms of, you know, defensive play. He's not renowned particularly for his attacking, but I think he's, you know, stepped in and done well on both sides in that regard. So yeah, it's hard to come up with enough praise for him, really. You've just got to hope that he comes back unscathed, doesn't play too much football, doesn't get any knocks and doesn't come back too tired. So for Liverpool, that he can just basically carry on where he's left off, because he's probably in the form of his Liverpool career, I think it's fair to say, over the last few weeks.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And as you say, that form coming across multiple positions is really made himself valuable to Liverpool, but certainly Gareth Southgate will have been looking at him and thinking, this is the kind of player you want in tournament football, someone who can be trusted left-back, centre-back, right-back. You never know what injuries are going to hit throughout a tournament. So, yeah, I think he's given himself a good chance of really being in the frame come the international tournament in the summer. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see how many minutes he gets in this international break, but certainly he's got himself back in the frame there. And while we're on England, we'll briefly discuss Trent Alexander-Arnold. As you say, he's, of course, not involved, still recovering from injury. Hopefully not too long after the break, he'll be back for Liverpool. But yeah, there have been reports that Southgate was going to use this break as a kind of big audition for Alexander-Arnold in midfield. You know, we've talked about it to death almost, but this was going to be the big one given the calibre of opposition England are facing. They're up against Brazil and Belgium, I think. So would have been interesting to see how he'd got on there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think for the first time, I'm not completely dismissive of it. I think normally I just wouldn't be bothered in the slightest where he played, whether he played. It just wouldn't really be of any interest to Liverpool fans. But the fact that Conor Bradley has come through and has offered Liverpool a genuine alternative, I suppose Joe Gomez as well, in fairness, has done that. I think there is a bit of a conversation to be had about, you know, particularly when Liverpool are going to switch managers and we don't know who's going to come in the summer. Maybe they'll have a bit of an idea of what they want to do with Trent. I think for the first time, really, even though we have had this conversation about should Trent be in midfield, should he be in that England team, I think this is the first time, really, even though it's been going on for a few years, that it's realistic to think that that could be something that Liverpool look at. Maybe it is something for the new manager. Maybe that's the tactical shift that Liverpool do next. But it's a bit of a shame for him that he can't play in these friendlies. But again, it's no bad thing for Liverpool, because the worst thing would have been for him to have come back just before the international break, gone away with England, come back too soon. And again, we've seen that time and time again with various players who've gone away and played in these matches. I think if England want to use Trent in the summer, fantastic. But I think from a Liverpool perspective, if they don't, it doesn't really need to be, you know, a hysterical reaction. It doesn't need to be anything over the top. It would be ridiculous if Trent Alexander-Arnold wasn't made the most of at every level that he plays, because he is so good and he is, you know, completely unique. But for Liverpool, if England don't want to make the most of him, then so be it.
Yeah, I think that's not a take that many people would disagree with. It's, yeah, there won't be too many interested eyes on England anyway. But even if Alexander-Arnold had been in the squad and playing in midfield, you know, it would have been a point of interest in terms of whether he could move there for Liverpool. Obviously, we've seen the rise of Conor Bradley sort of fuel that debate. But yeah, certainly in friendlies, no one's going to be paying too much attention to what Southgate does or doesn't do. I suppose there might be a few more eyes from a Liverpool perspective on the Netherlands, where there's two representatives, Cody Gakpo and, of course, Virgil van Dijk. And there'll be an all-Liverpool clash as well. They're up against Scotland in one of the games, so they'll be up against Andy Robertson. I suppose it's a chance for Cody Gakpo, isn't it? Because he has come under fire recently. It feels almost strange to say, given, you know, he got his brace in the Europa League against Sparta Prague. But he has been sort of a scapegoat, if you like, for some of the misfiring Liverpool attack, particularly in that United game. Do you think that's been at all fair? And do you think this is a reasonable chance for him to sort of go away and get a bit of a reset?
Yeah, I wrote a piece on this yesterday because I think he was one of the big talking points, wasn't he? I think he's probably an easy person to point to and say that it was his fault because of the pass that he didn't play when Liverpool had that 5-on-2. And again, that was something that we discussed around the game. And, you know, immediately afterwards, that did seem to be, you know, an obvious thing that had gone wrong for Liverpool, that he came on and I think it's probably fair to say on the day probably made Liverpool's forward line worse and didn't really, you know, get himself into the intensity and the physicality of the game, didn't make, you know, the right decisions on a couple of different occasions. So I think, look, you've got to assess him in the wider scheme of things. You've got to look at what he's done this season. His numbers are not particularly poor. I suppose his detractors would say that a lot of the goals that he has scored have maybe not come against the most difficult of opponents. You think of the two that you mentioned in the Europa League. He scored quite a few in the Europa League and the domestic cups, which I think on the one hand is maybe a bit of a negative, but on the other, maybe it's just reflective of the Premier League minutes. I think he's only started around half the Premier League matches that he's been available for. More often than not, he's had to come off the bench. And if that is the case, then, you know, maybe that is just reflective. It's almost a case of what comes first. Is it the regular goals that get you into the team, or is it that you get a run in the team and then the regular goals come after that? It's a bit of a chicken and egg scenario, I think, for him. He is quite clearly, I think, the fifth out of the five attackers that Liverpool have got when everybody is fit. Equally, you know, you've got to work out what position does he play. I know he started the season in midfield, which is easy to forget. Then he's played mainly through the middle. He's had to play on the right when Mohamed Salah hasn't been there. The one position that we haven't really seen a sustained period from him is on the left, which is where he played for PSV, where he'd probably play for the Netherlands, and where he's probably best, if we're all honest about it. So I find him really, really hard to assess fairly, because quite clearly he didn't play very well against Manchester United, and it isn't the first time this season. But there's equally so much quality and so many traits and attributes, really, that I think he's got within his game, which you'd look at and think are perfect for the way that Liverpool want to play, the kind of football that, you know, the coaching team want him to have. I think he's pretty ideal as well as an impact substitute most of the time. I think he's a player that if Liverpool need a goal, you can throw him on. If Liverpool need to protect the ball and keep the ball, he can kind of do that dropping deep and doing the Firmino role. So he's got all of the things that you'd want. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's physical, he's relatively quick. He's not electric in the same way that somebody like Luis Diaz might be. But I think there's lots of things there. It's just a case of how do you tie all of those bits together into one complete player. But I think ultimately the biggest question for me is what is his best position and can he nail that down? Because I wonder whether a player can take the next step, if you like, and draw all of those bits together if they're not getting a run in the team, or if that run in the team is coming in various different positions. I think that makes it a lot harder to be able to judge them. So I think the criticism has been over the top and has been unfair. But at the same time, you play for Liverpool, you've come in for a relatively big fee. At some point, those questions are going to be asked. So I think we've got to get that balance right. I think it is probably the fairest way you can put, really, with Cody Gakpo.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonderwater. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From Raspberry Lemon Lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing Cherry and Palavo Pineapple Mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonderwater. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
And maybe one of the few who could benefit when a new manager comes in. As you say, we still don't really know his best position. Maybe a new system could get something else out of him. Who knows? But yeah, like you say, left wing is one where we've not seen him much. And one of the reasons for that is Luis Diaz. He is going away with Colombia, despite him being flagged by Klopp as one of those who picked up a bit of an injury worry in the game against Manchester United. But interestingly, both of those games being played in Europe, the same can't be said of all of the South American contingent. Alexis McAllister away again, playing in Central America this time. We've seen him having to sort of rush back and then battle through fatigue a few times this season after international breaks. So not ideal, but with Diaz at least, is that something of a boost that he's not going to be flying halfway around the world again?
Yeah, and you'd like to think that he won't be overplayed as well. I know there's obviously that knock. There's a lot of football in his legs as well this season. When you think of the period that he spent out of the team for personal reasons, he's still, I think, the second most played player in terms of the number of minutes that any Liverpool player has played this season. So even though he had that bit of a break, he's still basically been there all of the time when he's been fit. There's, you know, the Carabao Cup final is probably the example which is most obvious of when he's just seemed to be running on fumes. He's somehow got himself through that and managed to keep himself going for the entirety of it. There's a lot of football, I think, that Luis Diaz has played this season, and at certain points I think he has looked a little bit tired and a little bit jaded. So fingers crossed Colombia recognise that. I know that hasn't always been the case, because I suppose it's the same with Darwin Nunez, who's obviously pulled out, with Diaz, with lots of these players, Mohamed Salah as well, who Liverpool don't have to worry about this time. When these players go, obviously at Liverpool, they're part of a wider team, and they've got other players around them. you know, for Luis Diaz, he's one of Colombia's star players, isn't he? They're not going to want to rest him. They're not going to want to not have him in the team. And, you know, the fans who are at these games will expect to see him. So it is going to be difficult, but you'd like to think the sensible decision will be taken, because ultimately for the long-term health of the player, for Liverpool and for his country, it makes sense that would be, you know, managed accordingly and they don't overplay him this time around. But as I mentioned before, Jurgen Klopp, I think, is aware that obviously he can have a say to a certain extent, but if a national team manager wants to play their player, then ultimately they're just going to have to deal with the consequences of that afterwards.
Yeah, it's an interesting element of this Liverpool squad, actually. There are a lot of kind of international talismans in there, and in fact international captains, so the latest being Dominic Szoboszlai, who captains Hungary. He's also in action over the break. I think it's just friendlies for him, Turkey and Kosovo. And then another player who's not really established himself quite yet, but surely this is the break for him to do it, is Quaveen Kelleher. He's been in a bit of a battle for the number one shirt with Ireland with Gavin Bazunu, who was formerly of Man City, signed in, you know, relatively big money move to Manchester, from Manchester City to Southampton. And yeah, even in the Championship, Southampton are doing pretty well. But in terms of looking at Bazunu's individual stats, they don't really stand out, or at least if they do, they kind of stand out for the wrong reasons. If you look at the kind of post-shot expected goals model and in terms of how many he should have let in compared to how many he has let in, it's a pretty stark contrast. I mean, the timing's been quite bad for Kelleher in terms of, you know, maybe he's been injured when he might have been given a go, things like that. But surely now, having been getting this run for Liverpool, this is the break where he sort of claims that shirt as his own.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe, to be honest, that it hasn't happened before. He is quite clearly the better goalkeeper. I think he's playing at a much higher level. He's got much more experience now. It's not the case that, you know, maybe two or three years ago you could have looked at it and thought, well, he's not played that much. He's maybe not played in Europe, or he's not had big moments. Playing for your national team comes with certain pressures, but I think he's quite clearly shown for Liverpool over the last two or three seasons that he would be able to cope with that. It's obviously a very different type of football that the Republic of Ireland play compared to how Liverpool play. It would test him, I think, in a different way as a goalkeeper. His shot stopping, I think, is pretty good, so that, you know, wouldn't particularly be an issue. I think the biggest thing for Liverpool with Kelleher is sort of his playing out from the back and how confident he is on the ball. I don't know quite how well or how important that would be, you know, playing for his national team. But in terms of a straight decision, I mean, it should be fairly obvious, I think, that he plays a lot for the Republic of Ireland. And you'd like to think that could be the case as well, because you wonder at some point, will that become a factor in? If he's not playing for his national team, will he eventually think that he has to go somewhere else and play regularly, if that's going to be, you know, tipping the balance with that? But, you know, fingers crossed for Liverpool, that isn't the case. He can play for his national team. He's going to get a lot more football between now and whenever Alisson comes back. We're still not quite sure when that's going to be. So, yeah, it's all been going really well for Kelleher, similar to Gomez, really. I think he's been in, you know, the form of his Liverpool career. He's had certain moments in the past. In 2022, obviously had the big moments during the cup runs, but I think we've seen in the Premier League, you know, twice a week, the concentration, the consistency of his performances. There was goals obviously conceded against United and in previous games as well, but I think generally speaking, most people have been fairly comfortable with Kelleher. Clearly Alisson is the best in the world and you want him to come back as quickly as possible, but, you know, for Kelleher to have come in and got that rhythm, I think there was one or two nervy moments when he first came in, maybe one or two mistakes, but I think it does go back to that regular football and the rhythm, similar to the conversation with Gakpo. We've certainly seen the evidence with Quaveen Kelleher that if you give him a run of games, obviously Liverpool didn't have a choice, but after they have given him a run of games, we've started to see him in some real, real good form now. So, yes, surely that will translate to international level.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Easy to still think of him as one of the kind of young players in the team, isn't it? He's probably been, you know, over the median age in some of these games now. I think he's 25, and then you look at some of the youngsters who Liverpool have been fielding, even some of the established players like Harvey Elliott, Dominic Szoboszlai, even they're younger than Kelleher is. So he's one of the more kind of experienced heads in there in terms of age, but of course not so much in terms of game time. But just to finish on the youngsters, a few of them going away on this kind of age group football duty. In terms of the under-21s, it's Harvey Elliott and Joel Kwanzaa who have got the call up for England. But there's been some kind of I wouldn't go as far as to say clamour, but certainly a little bit of talk that maybe Harvey Elliott should be in the frame for the senior national team. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. But also, you know, given how much Kwanza has played this season, coming up to 30 games for a team competing for a treble, do you think it's a matter of time before he's in the conversation as well?
Yeah, I mean, particularly with Elliott, obviously, he's been in and around that under-21s team. I think it's quite obvious he is the standout player in that 21s team. Curtis Jones obviously was in there as well, but the two of those, I think, are the next two really to step up. But yeah, Kwanza as well really is somebody who's come all the way through the England age groups. He's always been really highly rated within that setup and that system. I think the one thing you would say about Gareth Southgate, I know his team selection and squad selection gets questioned sometimes, but he does like that pathway of, you know, players who've come through the age groups that his coaching staff will know really well. I think that definitely would be the case with Jarrell as well. So I think that's definitely something to watch out for in the future. For Liverpool, though, it's another case, really, of you don't want too much too soon for him. I think he has been exceptional. He's been trusted in huge games. He's played now against City, against United. I think the dribble forward was sort of Matip-like, which I'm sure you would have enjoyed over the weekend in terms of him. He does seem to be developing, doesn't he? He's another one similar to Kelleher, really, where he's played a lot of football, has got into that rhythm, and it's just no longer the case, really, that you think of him as a young player. Clearly, he still is, even for a centre-back. He's still very young and inexperienced, but, you know, if Jarrell Kwanza was on the pitch when Liverpool go to Old Trafford next time, or if he was to play in a potential Europa League semi-final or final, I don't think anybody would be, you know, particularly fazed by that, and least of all him. I think he's shown a huge amount of quality. I think that the Euros in the summer will clearly come too soon for him in terms of the England setup, but it does feel inevitable, really, that at some point he will take that next step, because if you are performing as consistently and as well as what he is for Liverpool, I think that the national team kind of takes care of itself, and I'm sure Harvey Elliott will find that soon enough as well.
Yeah, you know, that old Brendan Rodgers and Bill Shankly meme, and how am I doing? You're doing great. I saw a version of that with Kwanza and Matip after that run, which, yeah, very much up my rather niche Matip-loving street. But, yeah, he looks the complete package, really, doesn't he? He's got that side to his game, but at the same time, he's got all of the defensive attributes you'd want. I mean, he's massive for a start, which helps. Liverpool in particular, we'll see how it changes when Klopp leaves, but at the moment, at least, that kind of aerial dominance is a hugely important factor. You look at the kind of top 10, top 20 overall in the Premier League in terms of aerial dual win rate, and it's just dominated by Liverpool centre-back. Joe Gomez, perhaps surprisingly, is second. I know for a time Kwanza sneaked into the top 10 as well. Matip's been in there. Kanate's been in there. So, yeah, you see that kind of common thread running through the Liverpool defence, which can only be a good thing. And yeah, I rate him really highly. I think you don't get to 30-odd appearances in a season without having something about you. And yeah, I think, as you say, if he keeps on going in the right direction, only a matter of time before England see that as well. But yeah, I think the main thing we'll all be keeping our fingers crossed for over the international break is avoiding any more injuries. And of course, the players who are injured coming back as quickly as possible. Hopefully the break comes at a good time. You know, a bit of a reset after that game. Hopefully the players are intent on putting things right rather than stewing on the defeat too much. And then we come back with all of the momentum going in a positive direction. But that'll do for us for now. Thanks everyone for watching. We'll keep you updated with all of the developments over the break in terms of hopefully not any injury news, but in terms of how everyone gets on, whether there's any kind of interesting positional experiments going on or anything we need to watch out for from a Liverpool perspective. Meanwhile, still plenty going on behind the scenes, of course. Michael Edwards is back at FSG. Maybe we'll see some progress on the sporting director. Maybe we'll even see some progress on a new manager being appointed. Certainly, you'll hear about it from us if there is any movement on those fronts. Be sure to check us out over on Liverpool.com, where we'll have plenty more content throughout the day and beyond. Be sure to check out what else we've got on the Blood Red channel. In the meantime, thanks very much. I've been James Martin with Matt Addison, and we'll see you again soon.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.